It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Ari Shapiro. President Obama gave his first State of the Union address last night. We're hearing parts of the speech throughout today's program. And this is the time that, as we do every year, we check some of the president's facts.
The president said he was, quote, just stating the facts, a premise we will test with the group of NPR correspondents. We start with this statement about $1 trillion in spending that the president said the government has run up to fight the recession. The president says he wants to pay it back.
So tonight, I'm proposing specific steps to pay for the $1 trillion that it took to rescue the economy last year. Starting in 2011, we are prepared to freeze government spending for 3 years.
That was the one clear step that the president tied to paying back that $1 trillion. NPR's David Wellner covers Congress. And David, can you save $1 trillion or anything close to it by freezing government spending in the way the president described?
Well, Steve, you'd have to do that for many, many, many years to get to $1 trillion. If this policy were kept in place for 10 years, you might get to $250 billion, paying for maybe a quarter of that. But he's not going to get anywhere close to making up the $1 trillion. Now, right after he said that he was going to keep in place tax cuts for the middle class that were passed during the Bush administration. And that is going to be very costly for the Treasury, although he did say that he would not extend the tax cuts that are expiring for the wealthiest Americans.
That's NPR's David Wellner. Now let's ask another $1 trillion question here. The president said his health care bill would save $1 trillion.
And according to the Congressional Budget Office, the independent organization that both parties have cited as the official scorekeeper for Congress, our approach would bring down the deficit by as much as $1 trillion over the next two decades.
NPR's Julie Robner was listening in. And Julie, does the Congressional Budget Office say that the president's health care bill will reduce the deficit by as much as $1 trillion over two decades?
Well, now the 12 of you who actually out there know how the CBO does its work will say, wait a minute, CBO doesn't estimate things over two decades. They only estimate things over 10 years. Actually, in looking at these health care bills, the CBO has been asked to look out over a second 10 years, although they have warned, and I am reading from the CBO document, the range of uncertainty surrounding these assessments, meaning that second 10 years, is quite wide. On the other hand, the other thing the CBO said about those second 10 years, and we're only talking about the Senate bill here, not the House bill, is that the reason that there would be savings over that second 10 years is because of these provisions that would cut Medicare much more dramatically than it would be cut over the first year. There would be a commission, and the CBO and others have suggested that Congress might not actually have the stomach for some of the cuts that might be called for by this commission. So there's some doubt as to whether those cuts would happen and whether that money would actually be saved.
I want to make sure I understand this. What the Congressional Budget Office actually says is that in the first 10 years after this bill is passed, it might save a little money. In the second 10 years, it might save a bunch or it might not save very much at all.
That's right. Or it might save a lot, but it might do it in ways that Congress and the public really might not like. So Congress might end up reversing.
Thanks, Julie. Now, while we're talking about vast amounts of money, let's check what the president said about the bank bailout, which has caused massive anger across the country. He said the banks have paid back most of the money they were given to save them. NPR's John Itzde covers economic policy. And John, have the banks paid back most of the money?
Yes, they have, Steve. And when it's all said and done, it's expected the government bailout of the banks is actually going to turn a profit. But remember, there were others besides the banks that got TARP funds, GM and Chrysler and AIG. And right now, the losses overall for the TARP are estimated to be in the range of about $120 billion. But remember, the president has proposed a fee for the biggest 50 banks to recoup any of the shortfall, so that the taxpayers are repaid every penny. So those banks could actually pay for losses caused by the car companies.
So that statement seems essentially true. Let's try another one. The president said his administration has given huge help to people struggling with their mortgages.
The steps we took last year to shore up the housing market have allowed millions of Americans to take out new loans and save an average of $1,500 on mortgage payments.
John, is that the whole story?
Well, the government took a lot of steps to aid the housing market. I'm not quite sure how the president got to $1,500 per mortgage. There's no doubt that the Fed's low interest rate policy and other actions like the home buyer tax credit have certainly reduced mortgage costs. So I guess the number is plausible. But many would say other homeowners have been let down by the administration's main program to help delinquent homeowners avoid foreclosure. Millions of homeowners face foreclosure, but only 110,000 have yet received permanent modifications. So I'd say a mixed record in helping homeowners.
John Itzde, one of our correspondents, helping to check the president's facts this morning. Now, President Obama, in his State of the Union speech, also made this statement about his plan for clean energy.
We need more production, more efficiency, more incentives. And that means building a new generation of safe, clean nuclear power plants in this country.
NPR's Christopher Joyce was listening to that statement. And Christopher, are there safe, clean nuclear power plants ready to be built?
Well, the safe part is not so controversial, even though nobody's built a nuclear power plant in this country for below these many years, three decades or so. People have been designing them, and even in environmental groups, some of them will tell you, yeah, designs are better now. But the real Achilles heel for nuclear power is the clean part, because whether it's a new plant or an old plant, nuclear power plants create nuclear waste, highly radioactive nuclear waste. And there's still no place to put that waste. It was for 20 years thought it would go into Yucca Mountain, this hole in Nevada. And $9 billion was spent. Thousands of pages of research was produced. And one of the first things that the Obama administration did when it came in was say, we don't like the science. We don't like the look of it. We're going to kill it. They put the stake through it last year. So now it's back to square one. No place to put the waste.
So when you look at that statement, safe, yes, clean, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Christopher, thanks very much. Later in his State of the Union address, the president turned to two wars, including this one.
And in Afghanistan, we're increasing our troops and training Afghan security forces so they can begin to take the lead in July of 2011 and our troops can begin to come home.
NPR's Jackie Northam has spent much time in Afghanistan. And Jackie, what do you hear in that statement?
Well, the president chose his words very, very carefully there. He said the Afghan security forces can begin to take the lead. And I don't think you would find many people who would expect a mass exodus of U.S. troops coming out a year and a half from now, in part because the numbers that they want to train are huge. They're looking, the tentative goal is 160,000 Afghan soldiers and about 125,000 Afghan police. The most optimistic estimate to get these forces up and running is 3 to 5 years, and that's optimistic. Most people think it's going to be about 10 years.
Jackie, I want to move on to the other war in Iraq, which the president described as nearing an end.
We will have all of our combat troops out of Iraq by the end of this August.
NPR's Mary Louise Kelly covers the Pentagon. Mary Louise, he said all our combat troops.
By which he means the U.S. still has more than 100,000 forces on the ground in Iraq. By the end of this summer, they are going to bring that number down to fewer than 50,000. And the ones that are coming out are combat forces. The premise here is that the U.S. will transition. They'll be doing training. They'll be doing support. They'll be helping Iraqi security forces. They won't be doing combat. Now, question, what's a combat troop? These are going to be U.S. military personnel. They will have the right to shoot in self-defense. Is that a combat troop? The Pentagon says no. If you're an Iraqi civilian, you might beg to differ.
The president also said the U.S. has killed, quote, far more al-Qaeda fighters and their affiliates this past year, 2009, than in 2008. Is it true?
That's an awfully difficult one to fact check because it is so hard to independently verify these numbers. You're talking about strikes primarily in the tribal areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan, strikes that on the Pakistani side, the U.S. does not even officially acknowledge, nor does Pakistan. What we know is the U.S. has stepped up those drone strikes significantly in the years since President Obama took office. They are clearly getting people. How many are civilians? How many are bad guys? Difficult to say. And we do know the two biggest bad guys, Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, still out there.
Mary Louise, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
We also had help this morning on our fact check of the president's State of the Union speech from NPR's Jackie Northam, Christopher Joyce, Julie Rovner, John Itzde, and David Wellna. Thanks to you all. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.